Well, tonight we have the great joy and blessing of coming together to tell the story of the Nativity of our Lord in song and story. We're familiar with Luke's tale of the shepherds receiving a message from the angels, of Matthew's recounting how the Magi saw a star in the east and traveled to Bethlehem, of John's cosmic poetry, and if we're paying attention, Mark's complete and utter silence on the topic. We know these stories. Even if we are not scholars of Scripture, we can tell these stories. Even people who don't go to church know these stories. All they have to do is watch Christmas specials, in particular, a Charlie Brown Christmas, a liturgically and theologically sound exposition of the birth of Jesus. Which leaves your preacher in a bit of a fix, because people come to church hoping to hear something new, something insightful. And yet, with stories so familiar, it's very easy to find ourselves asking, what's new? So I can rummage around my minister's toolbox, and I can come up with some path-breaking historical exploration of topics like which astronomical phenomena could explain the star. Or we could talk about problems involving calendars, because the shepherds would not have been out in the fields with their flocks in December, which means we're celebrating the birth of Jesus at the wrong time of the year. Or perhaps I could try to offer up some clever exegesis, and we could spend the next few minutes talking about translations of words from Greek and Hebrew and whether Mary was a virgin or a young woman and what the implications of all of that would be. But I will hazard a guess that that is not what you are looking for this night. I know it is not what I need. Indeed, in this time, in this hour in our common life, I suspect you, like I, seek assurance and comfort and hope. And you want to know that these lessons that we have read and these carols that we have heard are as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. Now, in recent months, we've heard a lot of chatter about facts and fact-checking and truth. And we've learned how facts, even when they are indeed correct, can be deployed in ways that are contrary to their meaning and the truth. And of course, sometimes things that people take as fact can't be verified or proven. We don't know how many wise men there were traveling from the east. We don't know their names, although traditionally we have told them. We don't know exactly what time of year the shepherds were out in the fields. And we know Luke would have benefited from a research assistant, because the Roman records tell us that he got the timing of the census wrong. But these issues aside, I believe we come here because we know the truth of these lessons is indisputable. We know through our experience and our desire that the God that we celebrate this night loves us so much that he would humble himself and be born as an infant and live and die as one of us. We know it is true that our God is the kind of God who would make his presence known first to shepherds, to a bunch of people on the margins. And indeed, we know that our God is the kind of God who would go and give a sign to a bunch of exotic foreigners who spoke strange languages and worshiped different gods. We see a truth in Christmas of a God who is so loving and so expansive and so amazing. And I think if we ponder these stories, we can see new things in them. And one way we might do that is by entering these narratives ourselves. Pick one. Luke, Matthew, John. Create a whole new backstory for Mark. And then choose a character. For there is somebody in these stories with whom each of us can identify. Perhaps it's a laborer. Perhaps it's someone who's poor. Perhaps it is a parent who is worried about how she's going to provide for a child. Perhaps it is a father whose faith has been challenged. Perhaps you identify with the seeker of wisdom. Maybe you want to be a messenger who tells the story. And I will argue that there is no shame in being as fearful as a king. If we enter into these stories, they no longer are artifacts of the past, but instead they become a living expression of our present and our hope for the future. And the urgency of doing this in this hour cannot be overstated. For I think on this night of our sisters and brothers in Christ gathering around the world, in places like Aleppo or Mosul or Cairo or Beijing, people who love Jesus and are committed to following his way, even though they will be subjected to persecution of a kind we cannot imagine. Oh yes, living in 21st century America, we can worry about people being dismissive of us because we go to church. We can bemoan the fact that Christendom, as we used to call it, is now part of the past. We can go on about the war on Christmas. Here's your history for tonight. You proud Congregationalists, descendants of the Puritans, were the original people to wage war on Christmas. We did not do Christmas. No celebrating, no special services. That was all very Catholic. Think about the power of these stories that inspire our fellow journeyers in the faith in those places I mentioned. Think about how it is so exciting and so meaningful and so transformative that they will give their all to follow Jesus. Imagine if we could be fired by such faith. Perhaps we too would see things anew. And we wouldn't worry that parts of the story might seem preposterous, of these scholars or soothsayers traveling thousands of miles following a star. Stories of celestial beings talking to a bunch of farm workers. Of God choosing to be born as a baby in a know-nothing town? Well, think about all that. think how wonderful it is and what it says about our God. And so if we take these stories to heart and we live into them, then I think that on this night when we celebrate Jesus' birth, we can say that the answer to the question of what's new is through God, everything is new.